Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we finish our Spokane City candidate interviews. Steve Jackson talks with one final candidate for City Council President. Mike Fagan is near the end of his second term on the council as a representative from the Northeast District. In addition to his council duties, Fagan is co-director of a political action committee that advocates for lower taxes, and he hosts a radio talk show.
I'm a hometown boy. I really love Spokane. Grew up here, graduated from high school, served my country, made my way in the corporate world while I was raising a young family. I came back to Spokane to raise that family. And I didn't come back to Spokane expecting it to be what it was like back in the 70s because I had known and already accepted the fact that we've grown by almost 50,000 people since Expo 74. And we've got to have somewhere to put those people here in the city of Spokane. We've got to create convenience in our commerce routes. People driving to work, people driving to go out and recreate, driving kids to school. And as soon as my wife and I got back to Spokane, back in the early mid-90s, we happened to notice that there was a big change. And we were already community-minded. So we got involved in the neighborhood council level situation, and we've been engaged in community situations ever since. Now, all of that being said, I already came into the position with a servant heart, and it was the members of my community there in Hilliard, Bemis, Whitman that encouraged me to run. The first time I ran for city council as a district level council member, they recognized that I have a great servant heart. And it's all about the community. It's all about our children because obviously they are our legacy. So that's why I got involved in this and I've remained involved in this. Again, all of that being said, I wanted to see what I could do about affecting needed change that we had in Northeast Spokane. Hence, that encouraged me along with my community members to run. Here we are 7 years later. And this council over the last 5 years, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, has been more agenda-driven than they have been priority-driven. And especially in the arenas of public safety as well as human services, we've definitely seen the rocky road, for sure. And unfortunately, folks, that rocky road is in the face of customers who want to do business downtown, business owners who are trying to make a dollar so that they can pay the tax coffers here in the city and we can continue to provide services. Those folks living downtown having to go through some of these issues that are in their face every day. It's those kinds of things that have motivated me to work as hard as I have on the council. Now, please understand this, folks. I have been in the severe minority for at least 5 years, but I am still able to accomplish things. At the end of the day, being a member of the legislative branch, one council member cannot make anything move forward in the city. It takes at least a minority quorum of the council, and that is a minimum of 4 votes, folks. So even though I've been in the severe minority, I have been able to get some things done. For instance, a year ago, being out in the district, I drive and see dirt and gravel streets everywhere, and it's a patchwork quilt, for instance. We've got 64 miles total of dirt and gravel roads still in this city, even after 100-plus years of being in existence. In my opinion, folks, any district-level council member worth their salt, because they're out there servicing and visiting and talking to community members and business owners and things like that in their district, they know where those streets are at. So I created a program that takes existing funds from a Photo Red program, and we do an allocation set-aside of a couple $100,000 a year for council members to point out at their discretion which one block or less unpaved street they need to have addressed. And now we're getting streets paved here within a year as opposed to 2 and 3 and 4 years out. Believe it or not, I've got constituents that have lived on dirt and gravel streets forever. And I have been battling and battling on behalf of the citizens for the last 6 years to get this program in place. It is in place now. And if you folks are in that particular situation where you've got a block or less of streets that are unpaved, dirt, gravel, pothole filled, whatever the case, please call your council member. Okay? Now, I recognize that running for and winning the position of city council president is going to cause me to kind of switch shoes. I'm going to go from a servant leader mode to a leader servant mode. So here are some things that come to mind immediately, folks. We, again, have got some serious issues in public safety. I'm not just talking about property crimes or the lack of property crime investigation, closed-loop communication with victims out there. I am talking about the need for some type of a jail facility or a hybrid jail facility, which would also act as a treatment center hybrid, where we can now have beds available in this community where we can engage in things like Ricky's Law that was just passed in 2016 by the state legislature and the governor, which now reinstates the powers of a psychiatrist to involuntarily institutionalize somebody that they feel is a threat to themselves or the general public because they suffer from mental illness and drug addiction. Okay, we know that drug addiction in the city of Spokane is rampant, ladies and gentlemen. The federal government has declared Spokane, the Tri-Cities, and Yakima to be in what they call a high-intensity drug trafficking corridor. The Sinaloa cartel owns the three cities here. We just had recent news reports about how individuals, one in Yakima, one right down in Washington State University, out of the dorms, folks, selling pounds and kilos, heroin, coke. For years, this has been going on. Weekly deliveries to the city of Spokane. Now, bear in mind, folks, 70% of illegal drugs, heroin, meth, cocaine, comes across the southern border. In my opinion, you cannot solve that problem. You cannot decrease the amount of illegal drugs on the street if you go about it in the same manner, like you're just cutting tips of the tail of the snake off. You want to kill the problem? You want to immediately and directly deal with it? You got to cut the head of the snake off. Now, can you imagine what kind of a correlation in a decrease amount of illegal street drugs that could equate to? If the southern border was addressed, for instance, we cannot place restrictions on federal government law enforcement for doing their authorized job. And I'm speaking specifically about Border Patrol and ICE agents doing their duly authorized and legal point of entry inspections.
Okay.
Now, again, it's been more agenda-driven on the council than it's been priority-driven, and that is something that I definitely want to encourage the council members to refrain from. We have problems in Spokane, and I know this next statement from some longtime supporters and people that know me, I'm going to say, folks, due to the current state of the city, at least over the next four-year term, folks, experience counts. I've sat and deliberated and voted either up or down seven city budgets. I'm the guy that's been out there on the street making the connections with our nonprofits, with our non-governmental organizations, with governmental organizations, community members, and communities in general, because we need to come together in order to address and solve the homeless issue.
But why don't we jump into the homeless thing? What's your general read on that as far as being a priority issue for you? And also, what would you like to see happen to help out?
Okay. Let me go ahead and preface what we're going to do about this thing with giving you a little bit more background.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Going all the way back to the days of John F. Kennedy, the discussion of deinstitutionalization occurred. It stayed low-key until the Reagan administration. Then it was brought up again. Now we're beating the drum for deinstitutionalization. That policy is basically trickled down from the federal government to the state. In the last decade, we have seen the state implement their deinstitutionalization. They've let the likes of McNeil Island, Western State, Eastern State hospitals just go into shambles, okay? We figured out that experiment didn't work because now we have mental health patients, and some of them pretty darn scary. I've encountered folks that are walking down the street having a conversation with five people that just aren't there. And to me, that is not only a threat to themselves, but a threat to others who may unwittingly encounter them. Now we interject the drug addiction situation here. Now let's break down homelessness. Look at it as a four-legged stool with four components. You've got homeless veterans, homeless families, homeless children, and now you have the street element that we see in our face every day downtown, along our riverbanks, in our parks. And it's not pretty, folks. It is not pretty. I'm talking about, you know, hypodermic needles that are there in our parks, under the playground equipment, along the riverbanks. I mean, several years ago, I encountered along Upriver Drive thousands of used hypodermic needles, gathered them all up, a little bit of media coverage, turned them all into the regional health district. And I'm telling you, it was ugly, folks. I'm done with this. We are woke, I guess is the current trending thing to say. And I'll tell you something, folks. Where it comes to three of the four legs of this stool, the veterans, the families, the children, the city of Spokane is doing God's work there. We are doing excellent work. We are partnered up with those nonprofits that provide specific services that are keeping people who are on the verge of being homeless in their homes. Once those families do become homeless, we're talking about a 30 to 40 day turnaround time before we can get them into transitional or permanent housing. And I mean, a couple of years ago, that was unseen and unheard of. So we've partnered up in those three arenas there with great organizations. What we need to do with the homeless issue that we have got downtown, multiple things. Number one, take the handcuffs off the cops. We have laws on the books for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, I know, we've got a revolving door at the jail, okay? Every issue that you can think about is a vicious circle. And at the top of that circle is good old Uncle Sugar. I'm talking about the government. Because I'll tell you why. Government is the entity that controls the level of taxation, the fees, the regulations that business owners and developers and investors have to deal with. People don't realize, a lot of people don't realize that regulations cost money because they normally involve changes to processes, et cetera, and so forth. So we've got a huge tax burden as a result of what the state legislature did to us this session. We don't know what the impact of that tax stuff that they passed here a couple months ago is going to have on us. So that is something that I'm worried about out into the horizon, okay? Now, there's only so much money in any given community that can be doled out. And I'm speaking on behalf of the city of Spokane, its community members, its business community, et cetera. What we need to be doing, ladies and gentlemen, is we need to be focusing like a laser beam on things that we know work. Drug treatment, okay? We cannot continue to turn our cheek. I mean, and this is a very complicated thing. I mean, we're talking about a generational problem we've got here. Because what about some of those good old American traditional values like work ethic, mutual respect, personal responsibility? We don't see that with this downtown homeless crowd. They are more antisocial. They will break the law in a heartbeat. They will not clean up their mess. They're leaving hypodermic needles underneath the swing sets and the slides in our playgrounds, for God's sake. No respect. So generationally, we've got to get a hold of our kids and we've got to bring them up a little bit differently. From the social standpoint, I get it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, back in my day when I was younger, we used to call them hobos and bums and skid row. Those days are long gone. This is a different type of homeless situation that we've got down here, and it's a homeless situation that is baked in lawlessness. So number one, take the handcuffs off of our police. We have already embedded mental health professionals with our shift, police shifts, so that when we do encounter mental health issue, we've got a mental health professional that can respond to the scene. So we're already taking measures in that regard to get an evaluation and very possibly services dealt with right there on the spot.
We're talking with Mike Fagan, one of four candidates running for Spokane City Council president.
We need to change the social way that we are talking about the homeless. Yes, they're drug addicts. Yes, they have mental health issues, and they're alcoholics and whatnot. But look, folks, at the end of the day, we are all human. We all deserve some level of dignity. So is there some likelihood that if we start referring to that particular population in a different manner, in a more compassionate manner? And I'll tell you something, folks, you know, I'm compassionate, but my compassionate does come with conditions, okay? I'm one of those guys that are just paying and paying and paying, and we see that it's not helping. I want answers also. I want something different done. And I'll tell you something, with the current council and administration that we've had and the 7 years of experience, what I've seen, we are not afraid to pilot a project, to experiment with something, to think outside the box. And it has gotten this city a lot of accolades over the last 7 years. What the city needs to do, we have got to make a decision how much government play is going to be involved here. We are already spending out of our general fund more money than we have ever spent in the history of the city of Spokane in given years on the homeless issue, on human services in general. We now have a general fund budget that is a little over $200 million. And when you couple that with our enterprise funds, we're talking about a budget that's over $1 billion. Now, whatever action occurs after the 1st of January with a new administration and a new council, people have got to understand, even under the best conditions, we're talking about a year out before we're going to start seeing programs in place and start seeing the benefits of these programs getting put into place. Now, can you imagine someone coming into office that has never seen a city budget, that has not gone out there and established and sustained those relationships that I referred to earlier? We're talking someone that's got a steep learning curve that's going to take at least 2, maybe 3 years to understand what resources are available. How can we expend them? Who is it that we have to expend them with? And does that come with restrictions? Folks, this is why I'm saying that experience counts. But just know, ladies and gentlemen, I recognize the lawlessness going down there, and I'm going to be working hard, just like I did down on the district level, on behalf of my constituents, the building owners and the business owners downtown, along our riverbanks, and in our parks.
How would you prioritize the current spending if you get in there? How would you change it?
In the current state that we are at, ladies and gentlemen, the number one priority is public safety. Mm-hmm. Now, public safety also includes the human services component that includes the homeless issue. Okay? That's going to be the number one priority. Number two, and number one and number two, folks, you're going to see from year to year are always going to be the same everywhere. It's just the priority is going to change. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure. Infrastructure is a huge issue. I'm talking specifically about the north-south corridor. How is that going to change traffic patterns and commercial truck routes in the future? We're not looking at that right now. We're not talking about that right now. That's something that the council president has got to start discussions on at the 30,000-foot level. And that's what, again, flip-flopping those shoes from servant leader to leader servant is going to be all about. Your third priority, obviously, economic development issues. Now, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you know, over the last 5 years, the council and the administration has worked cooperatively to make strategic investments and decisions in the city of Spokane and its citizens. We see this happening out in the West Plains. We now are building an Amazon building out there. We've got a large factory that just announced they're moving in electric sports cars, of all things.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, when I first came into office, we started talking to the community colleges in the area because we wanted to add aerospace industry schooling to the curriculum. Here we are 7 years later, and believe it or not, folks, we have got over 130 Tier 1 and Tier 2 subcontractors to Boeing that are right over in the West Plains. Okay? They're not large companies by any means, but these are specialized companies that Boeing taps to get specific custom products from, and they're here in Spokane. Now, can you imagine being able to land the likes of Boeing over here in Spokane? Now, it's a blessing and a curse. I get it. It's a curse from the standpoint that we don't have any place to put these people in regards to housing. And that is another infrastructure issue that, you know, goes along with the number one and number two priorities here.
And that's exactly, that was our one of the
you
next questions was just about how those expanding, like the Amazon and the sports car thing, would impact the city. Maybe just a quick read from you. Yeah, what would be some answers to get more housing?
Okay. Currently, the way our comprehensive plan is, there are certain housing styles that are prohibited from being built here in the city of Spokane. Okay? Why is that, folks? It's because the priority from the council the last 5 years has been infill, infill, infill. Mm-hmm. They are looking at infill for the whole city. We have 29 neighborhoods in this city, ladies and gentlemen, and every one of those neighborhoods has got its own idiosyncrasies and its own uniqueness, okay? A one-size-fits-all in housing choices, development decisions, and regulations is not the answer. What we want to do is we want to say that downtown, our downtown core, is what we want to do as far as infill. We want to allow the neighborhoods to do what they have done up to this particular point so that we've got housing choices out there. No one in the city has reached out to the home builders, to the investors, to the developers to say, come on to the table, work with our engineers, our drafters, our architects, the building and the fire code. Tell us what it is that's going to make you successful. Allow you to provide us housing choices, there's where we need to go.
Well, here's kind of a follow-up on that. When I talked to Ben Stuckert, it was he that was talking about giving the example of the Perry District and how the infrastructure improvements had brought in all those businesses. Then he started to talk about the need to have more multifamily kind of dwellings and the like over there. And we didn't go into that at great length, but it occurred to me as a good follow-up question would be, if you were a family that lived in the Perry neighborhood and you had just a regular house, they might be upset if there was plans to maybe move condos and the like in there. Can you maybe just talk about that for a second?
Okay, I'm going to say it's not going to be a maybe, it's going to be, they will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those folks that have been beating the drum the loudest with regard to infill, 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 are the biggest NIMBYs in the world, not in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying, folks. Now, look, it is incumbent upon the council, and it has been incumbent on the council, like I said during the onset of this interview, since my day before I left and fought for this country and made my way in the corporate world, I was happy with Spokane. But when I came back, I acknowledged that we've got 50,000 more people here that we've got to accommodate somehow.
Mm-hmm.
They got to live somewhere, they got to work somewhere, and they definitely have to travel somewhere. I'm all about balance. We've got to start thinking about multifamily housing and how can we balance single-family condos, apartment complexes, and the like. How can we balance that in any given neighborhood? And that's what I'm going to be all about. You know, folks, just think about it. As long as I've been in office, even before I was in office, working on a level of a community activist and a community leader, that NIMBY attitude has always been a showstopper. and something that and I'll even go so far as to say it's a career killer too for politicians, you know. But at the end of the day, folks, just know that every one of those council members that I've worked with over the last 7 years, they all have a heart for citizens out there. They want to see what is best. They want to see happen what is best for everyone in the city of Spokane. We just have our different ways of going about it.
Would you, and I think maybe I'll, this might be my final question, because I know there's that perception that you're kind of the lone conservative on the council. And yet whenever I interviewed all those other council members, they would always go to point out that, well, you know, we don't all think alike. And even a couple of them, I won't even name them, but you maybe probably will guess, had said, you know, as much as you think that that's the case, I personally, this was the other guy saying, I personally have worked with Mike Fagan on numerous issues, and I don't think that it's the perception of the five progressives and the lone guy is kind of not really what it is. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, that's not really what it is, because I'll tell you something. Again, I'm reflecting back on my statement about less agendas, more priorities, folks. When we get in a situation where we're deliberating and voting on agenda items, okay, this is definitely where the council is split, and you're going to see the 6-to-1 votes. Sometimes they're 5-to-2, and I'm able to bring somebody else over on my side. But for the most part, when it comes to City of Spokane-centric issues, we are more aligned, and you will see more 7-to-0 votes than anything else. Because like I said, folks, at the end of the day, all of us have the best intentions for everybody in the city of Spokane, and we have got our investments in the city in Spokane, both professionally and privately, as parents, grandparents, et cetera. Okay, so we want the best also, and it's like I said, the only thing that's different here is how we go about getting there.
Okay. Is there anything else I didn't ask you about that you want to add?
What about the climate change, global warming?
Sure.
Okay.
Jump in.
All right. Well, obviously, I've been one that has scrutinized this thing called global warming and climate change. I've done so because, for instance, the hockey stick, which is used to basically establish the whole discussion years ago, was based on false data. All I'm asking for at the end of the day is, do we have it or don't we have it? If we do, then will the IPCC go back, admit their mistake, apologize, correct the data, let's move forward?
And my follow-up to that would be, and we got to make this quick because we're going to run out of time here, would just be, how would that influence city government and issues in Spokane?
You bet. Just know that my opponent right now is definitely looking at spending a lot of money on global warming, climate change, sustainability programs, folks. I'm one that has scrutinized it. I'm still looking for answers. And I am one that doesn't want to commit dollars and time to something that has not been proven to be true.
Mike Fagan is a Spokane City Council member who's running for council president. That will be an open seat because the incumbent Ben Stuckert is running for mayor. We've now posted all 24 of our full interviews with the candidates for mayor, council president, and city council on the Spokane Public Radio website. Click on the Regional News tab and then on Election 2019. Or you can go to the Inland Journal page, or you can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. On Tuesday's podcast, one more election issue, the Spokane County Library District levy that voters in much of the unincorporated part of the county will decide. We'll talk about that with the district's executive director, Patrick Rowe. Send your comments and story ideas for Inland Journal to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for joining us for this and for this whole series of candidate interviews. I'm Doug Nadvornik.